thank you so much for tuning in to hear Wings Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's our show. Hello, believers, and welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and today we are going to talk about what you can expect in a wilderness season. I was up very late last night and just kind of reading the Word and praying and talking to the Lord because it had been a real busy day yesterday. And all of a sudden, He showed me something really incredible about the wilderness that I never saw in the Word, where it actually tells us what to expect in the wilderness, and I had never seen that. And so I immediately started making notes, and I want to share that with you today. If you are in a wilderness season, this is especially important, but if you are not, be aware every Christian must pass through at least one wilderness season on your way to where God is taking you. Okay, so everybody needs to hear what to expect in the wilderness. Okay, we're going to be talking about scriptures in Matthew chapter 4. Let me read to you. This is about when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil takes him up into the holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple and says to him, "If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and says to him, "All these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then says Jesus to him, "Get you from here, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil leaves him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Okay, now we're going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to share with you what God showed me. It's pretty incredible, I think. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Okay, y'all know if you've read the Wilderness Companion, or if you've listened to me for very long, we are led into the wilderness for the same reason, to be tempted by the devil. There is a reason why we're led into the wilderness to be tempted, and it's not as much about sin as it is about some other stuff. I'm going to read to you Deuteronomy 8:2, which is kind of my life verse. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." And 3, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Okay. The Lord leads us into the wilderness and lets Satan tempt us because he needs to show us things about ourselves that we don't realize. Kind of like Peter when he said, "I'll never deny you no matter what. I'd go to prison for you. I would die for you." But then when it came time to do those things, Peter was shown that that was not what was in his heart, that there was still some of Peter in his heart, and that's human nature. That's why God wants to show it to us, because he wants to take that out and replace it with his divine nature. Okay, we think we would do this or we wouldn't do that, but we don't know for sure until God shows us, and a lot of times he has to show us before he can take us forward towards what he has called us to do. Okay, verse 2. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward anhungered." Okay, this tells us something extremely important about the wilderness. The wilderness is and will be a place of lack. It is a place of lack. It is a place where you don't have ready access to everything that you need or want. And that's for a reason, okay? The wilderness is a place of lack. Jesus needed some food in the wilderness, but he knew he was supposed to fast for 40 days, so he stayed out there. Verse number 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Okay, if thou be the Son of God, Satan will try to get us into pride in the desert. Do you hear me, church? Pride. What have we all learned about pride? I've taught on this many, many times because God took me back to the desert so many times over pride. And I didn't even know I had pride. Satan will try to get us into pride in the desert because he knows God resists the proud. And he wants to come between you and God so you don't get the help you need. For you new Christians, the wilderness and the desert are the same place. The wilderness is a season in our lives where God takes things away from us so he can teach us things. And the desert is another name for that place, okay? It's like when Jesus was in the desert fasting for 40 days and Satan came out there and picked on him. Okay, it's very much like that. You're in a desolate place, spiritually and usually physically too. Okay, so Satan will try to get us into pride so he can come between us and God because he knows that that pride will stop a lot of stuff from getting to us that we need because God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Command that these stones be made bread. Come on, Jesus, do it. You can do it. You're supposed to be the Son of God. Make some bread out here. You need some bread. You're hungry, right? Wouldn't some nice, fresh, baked bread be good right now, Jesus? Wouldn't that be good? The devil will tempt us to try to make our own way in the wilderness instead of letting God grow our faith that he is our provider. If Jesus turned those stones into bread, he would be providing for himself and making his own way instead of waiting on Father God. The other thing that we can see here is number one, and I've taught on this before, the enemy waits to tempt us until we are at our weakest point. Jesus was tired, been wandering around the desert for 40 days. He was hungry because he'd been fasting that whole time and probably homesick and wanted to see his friends and his family after 40 days alone in the wilderness. I am certain that the human side of him wanted to go home and eat some hot bread and sleep in his own bed. Number two, another thing that this set of verses teaches us, and this is really big, y'all. This has happened to me, I think, in every wilderness I've ever been through, and I know it's happening to a lot of y'all because y'all email me and tell me. When we are in the wilderness, we will have to put up with someone we don't want to be around. It is always someone who thinks completely different than us, and I am talking to somebody. This could be somebody in your house, or maybe you don't have your house and you had to go stay with someone else. It could be somebody at your work that just rubs you the wrong way, talks bad about you, or they're your boss. I had two different jobs where the person I had to put up with was a boss that was just a tyrant. And it was so hard not to, number one, quit your job, and number two, not to just get into pride and tell them off, because that's what your flesh wants to do. But you don't want to let your flesh do what it wants to do in the wilderness, okay? Because we're trying to tame the flesh. And if you let your flesh go crazy and do that, you will be there longer, a lot longer. The reason letting your flesh do what it wants will cause you to be in the wilderness a lot longer is because number one, you're still going to be there for the reasons God originally led you there. And number two, now he's got to get the pride out of you and teach you not to give in to your flesh. But think about this. There was Jesus out in the desert. He's trying to do what the Lord wants him to do. The Lord God in heaven wants him to do, his Father. He's minding his own business. He's just trying to get through the last of this fast. And here comes big mouth Satan to irritate him. The wilderness is about having a right heart before God and a right walk before God. It's also about character development. God cares a lot more about your character and your heart than he does about your calling. He will gladly give your calling to someone else rather than set you in front of his people or send you out to evangelize his people when you don't have a right heart or you have bad character, because that's going to make him look bad. okay? Character development is a lot like how a pearl is formed. A pearl is formed over a period of time as layers build up around a particle of sand or other irritant that has made its way into the oyster's shell. The oyster secretes a liquid called mother of pearl in order to protect itself from the irritation. This liquid hardens and forms a smooth surface around the offending grain of sand or irritant, and the layers created eventually produce a natural gem. And that's what God is trying to do with us. He's trying to make us into jewels for his kingdom, trophies of his grace. But he's got to get the rough edges off of us first. Verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Okay, here's a big key for y'all. Right here, and I cannot believe I did not see all this stuff before now. 16 years I've been going in and out of the wilderness. Right here, the Lord could not be telling us any clearer how to make it through the wilderness, how to get what we need. By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay, where are the words that proceed out of the mouth of God? They're in God's word. Verse number 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And 6, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. That is, as you know, not a direct quote of scripture. What Psalm 91, 11, and 12 actually say is, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Okay. The devil will always, always, always try to twist scripture around and get us to do stupid stuff when we are in the desert. Yea, hath God really said, Jesus? Is that really what he said? Maybe that verse really means this. God doesn't really mind if you do that, does he? He will give you every possible argument to get you into sin or compromise. First, he'll start out just trying to get you to compromise, and then he'll drag you off into sin when you do. Satan knows full well the penalties and punishments for sin because he is the very one who is in God's face asking to be allowed to punish you the second you give in, the second you move towards compromise. He's the one who's going to go accuse you before God. He's the one who's going to bring condemnation. Ooh, I'm talking to somebody, God said. He is the very one who's going to bring condemnation on you the second you start that sin. And from then on, he's going to keep condemning you that you did it, that you were weak, that you don't love God enough. Oh, yeah, he's got lots of ways to make us feel condemned, that you're not good enough. I've heard all those arguments too, y'all. God saved me in 1996. But he has spent years trying to get all the sin out of me because I lived 36 years in the world doing what I wanted to, not even pretending to be good. So, I mean, I wasn't even trying to be good out there. That's a lot of sin. And thankfully, he's got most of it out now, as far as I know. But I don't know, there may be more. Sometimes I get surprises. But you just remember, when Satan is tempting you to compromise or sin, he is going to turn right around the minute you step towards that compromise, and he's going to run and get in God's face and say, let me punish him, let me punish him. So while he's trying to twist the scriptures around and make you think it's okay to do this, or God doesn't really mind that you do that, or God really sees this way, you just go right back to the word. And you remember that Bible is very literal, very literal. Jesus quoted literal scriptures word for word to the devil. We need to do the same thing. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is very important that we do not get into presuming when we are in the wilderness. Now, here's a real big one. I get lots of emails about this. That's why I'm going to talk about this particular one. And I have seen the effects of getting into presumption on it. Years ago, I knew a sweet sister in the Lord in the Dallas area. And she told me a story. She would preach. I used to go with her. She'd preach at different churches. And I used to go with her. We'd drive into parts of Dallas that women alone should not drive to, especially at night. But I would go with her because she was my friend and listen to her preach. She believed that God was moving her into full-time ministry. And she had quit her job before God told her to, because she thought she was supposed to. She ended up sleeping in her car. Now, I get a lot of questions on, is God trying to take me out of my job? I get lots of emails from y'all about that. So let me just talk about that. Just because something is wrong at your job does not mean the Lord is telling you to quit working. Every case I know of where he was taking a person out of working, he literally told them, if you get into presumption, your wilderness walk is going to be a lot more difficult and very scary. Use wisdom. My rule of thumb is, if he didn't tell you to stop working, don't stop working, okay? If something happens to your job, go get another one. He will make it clear to you if he wants you to not work, and I'll tell you how. The Lord literally told me the end of 2008, one night when I was in worship. He said, I am retiring you from your labors. He had told me before my job ended that it was going to end. And it ended. And then he told me after that, he said, I am retiring you from your labors. And he showed me in my spirit, he meant that I wasn't going to work jobs anymore. I was going to work for him. And of course, I did the happy dance for quite some time after he spoke that to me. Because when your heart is fully given to the Lord, you don't want to work in the secular world. You want to work for him. I would go to work every day and I would see the futility of what I did from an eternal perspective. I was out working to make oil companies richer, and although they paid me well to do it, it had no eternal value. And I wanted to do work that had eternal value because that was my heart. My heart was to minister to people, to teach people about Jesus. And so I begged God continually, Lord, I want to work for you. I want to work for you. I want to work for you. And he heard that from me night and day. I would go to work and pull records in the courthouse, and I'd be a lot of times listening to sermons and Bible teachings while I did it. So I didn't have to listen to the mindless chatter going on around me, which drove me up the wall. I wanted to be doing something that had real value. He gives us the desires of our hearts. And he is the one who made me desire that because he had called me to do this. If I had continued to work when it was not his will, he would have had me fired. That's what he generally does. Joyce Meyer is a good example of that. God told her, I don't want you to work. Well, her and Dave added up the bills years ago. They added up the bills and she said, well, I'll just work part-time. So she worked part-time. God had her fired. And she was like me. She was not the kind of person that got fired. I did go back to work when I wasn't supposed to, after I had a meltdown in, I think it was 2010, when the rent money didn't show up on time. And I freaked out and I had a meltdown. And I went back to work for, I think it was a year. During that year, I worked for 3 different brokers, which was extremely unusual for me. I usually would get with one broker and stay with them. I was miserable in all 3 of those jobs. There was no anointing whatsoever on me to work anymore. None. It was miserable. And that's another sign. Not that you're unhappy in your job, but it's almost unbearable. That is a sign, but it is not a guarantee that God wants you to stop working. Okay? I want y'all to be real careful about this because this one can really get you into trouble and the devil will try to fool you. He'll try to get you to, when we get into presumption, we are being prideful. We're saying, oh, well, I know what God wants me to do. God's thoughts are so much higher than that. We can't possibly know the thoughts of God like that. So don't assume that you know what God is thinking. You wait for him to tell you. You wait for him to let you know if he wants you to quit. If you keep trying to work when he wants you to quit, he will let you know. You will get fired from one job after another, or he'll fix it where you cannot work, okay? That's how we stay out of presumption in that area. Use wisdom. Until he tells you and shows you that he does not want you to work, keep working. The wilderness is hard even when you're working, y'all. When you stop working, it is a wonderful thing. Wonderful to be able to have the faith to believe for all your provision, but it is terrifying to learn to do it. It is terrifying. I can't even tell you how scary it is. If I'd had a heart problem, I'd have had a heart attack going through all that last wilderness. Okay, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Okay, here's something I've definitely experienced this, and I know y'all have too. The devil will make sure to show you all the nice stuff everybody else has while you are in the desert doing without. He wants you to covet and, if possible, to envy. He wants to get you all twisted up in what God is not letting you have right now, to take your eyes off what you should be looking at, which is Jesus, which is what is going to get you out of the wilderness faster. When we start wanting something as humans, we try to figure out a way to get it, don't we? And that's not what God wants us doing when we're in the wilderness. Okay? So just ignore when the devil shows you what somebody else has. Say, praise the Lord, if they can have it, God can bring it to me too. Because when God brings you out of the wilderness, you always go through a season of rest and blessing. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The devil will always try to steal your worship in the desert. He will always try to get you into idolatry. Idolatry is worshiping anything instead of worshiping God. It is especially easy to get into idolatry in places of no comfort, because in the desert never has any comfort, does it? In the wilderness, there is no comfort. Where could Jesus have found comfort out in the middle of the wilderness? There's nothing in the desert to comfort you. As humans, we want comfort. We want something we can turn to for comfort. So it's real easy for Satan to tempt us to find comfort in our old familiar ways of seeking comfort, which always involved sin. God wants to be our comforter. He wants us to learn to come to Him for comfort. And I'll tell you what, after the stroke, when I moved to the place where I live now, I went through a time of just needing so badly to be comforted. And it was then that God taught me that He can comfort me in the deepest dark of night when I'm terrified, by surrounding me with His presence. And He taught me that I can walk into His peace. I can go into His peace. I remember one day I was really scared. So I went downstairs and I sat in my rocking chair that I call my prayer chair. It was a chair that my mother left for me when she died. And I flipped open my Bible to the Psalms, and I always highlight my favorite verses in the Bible. And I went through there and I read out loud every verse that I had highlighted. And it took about 30 minutes. And at the end of that 30 minutes, I was completely at peace. God will be your comforter if you will allow Him to be your comforter, and if you will not seek comfort somewhere else. Because He's not going to comfort you if you're cheating on Him with sin, okay? Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Jesus is showing us by this what we need to watch out for in the desert, to be sure that we are worshiping only the one true God and not a cheap counterfeit like Satan always tries to set himself up as and always tries to sell us. Satan always will try to sell you cheap counterfeits of the real thing. Jesus is saying, look at what you're worshiping. Where's your time and your energy and your money going? What are you worshiping? Is it me or is it something else? Or is it someone else? Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. If you can stand through the heat and the pressure of the desert, the Lord will send angels to minister to you in the desert. Okay, now I want to talk about Deuteronomy chapter 8, which confirms everything that I just read you from Matthew chapter 4. Let me read to you from chapter 8. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord God chasteneth thee. That's where the discipline comes from, y'all. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him, The wilderness will teach you fear of the Lord if you don't have it already, because he can take you back there anytime he wants. And I remember that every day. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, that's pride, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. In other words, I made all this wealth. God didn't do this, I did it. That's pride. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. One of the things the Lord teaches you in the wilderness is humility. This is essential, because God resists the proud. Do you want God to resist you? No, me neither. Deuteronomy 8:2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. One of the things that happens in the wilderness is the Lord strengthens your character. As I said earlier, he cares a lot more about your character than he does about your calling. One of the things that happens in the wilderness is you draw nearer in intimacy with the Lord, because there ain't nobody in that desert with you but him. And that's why. Part of the reason why he won't let anybody else help you. One of the things God teaches you in the wilderness is obedience. The last part of Deuteronomy 8:2, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Another thing that happens in the wilderness is you learn to resist temptation and rebuke the devil. You can't do anything big for God if you can't say no to sin. He can't let you. You are choosing the devil's way over God's way in that area for your own satisfaction. God is not going to bless your sin, and he is not going to overlook it either. When you sin, you are siding with the devil. Not that we don't all have weaknesses, because we do, but we need to have them, not them have us, and y'all know what I mean. If you are drugged here and yonder by your sin, if you're living a life of sin, if you are living with someone you're not married to, if you are living in sexual immorality, or you are living another type of lifestyle that is sinful, you need to get right with the Lord. He could come back any minute, y'all. Because if you're living like that, you are nowhere near ready to be used by God for anything. And you're nowhere near ready to be blessed in a big way by God either. Until you learn to take authority over your own flesh and make it submit to God. He will help you lay that sin down, but he will not let you go forth into the destiny he has shown you or he wants for you and all the blessings he has for you while you are carrying it. He can't. The devil will use it to destroy you if he does. You can choose to keep your sin, but you can't have that and the vision that he has for you. So you choose this day which one you will keep. If God be God in your life, then serve him and serve him only. In the wilderness, God anoints you for what he has called you to do, and the anointing will draw people to you. The Lord is not going to anoint you and draw thousands of people to you if you are a whitewashed tomb full of sin working for the devil on the inside. I'm just saying. In the wilderness, God will show you what's in your heart, and it never matches what you think is there. Can I just tell you that? That's why he has to show it to us. And then he will help you fix it so you can be used for his kingdom purposes or be used in a greater way. Your heart may contain conditions for God to meet like mine did. It may contain all sorts of darkness and sin or hatred, racism, lies, adultery, or lust. The Lord has to reveal to us the parts of our heart that are not yet his, especially if we think we've already given him our whole heart. That sin will hide from you. The devil will make sure that it does. He'll do things like get you busy looking at everybody else's sin so you don't see yours, so you think that you're doing okay and everybody else is messed up. Did you know that? Again, Deuteronomy 8:2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. And that is not so he can know, because he already knows. It's for you to know whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. If you're not keeping them now, you're sure not going to keep them if he blesses you more. In the wilderness, you learn to live by the word of God, not by your own abilities. This is the hardest part, probably, of the wilderness. And can I just say that until you do learn to live by the word of God, you will probably be making return trips to the desert, because God wants to teach his children total reliance on him for everything, especially if you are called to ministry. If you're called to ministry, this is pretty much a required course, because you're going to have the faith to believe for the funds to fund the ministry that he's called you to. In the wilderness, you also learn what it is like to live with hunger, to abase and abound, like Paul did. When I first came to Princeton, I lived in a tiny old house that looked like it was sinking into the ground. In the front of the house, it's overgrown by all kind of vines and bush and all this. I drive by it at least every week, go in different places in town. On a noisy street, it did not have central heat and air, and if you don't know this, the summers in Texas are brutal. The winters can be cold, and all it had for heat was one little heater in the wall of the living room. I slept on an air mattress for a year and a half that was about 9 inches off the ground with a back problem. That was not fun. And then the house got infested with fleas, and I didn't even have any pets. It was stuff that was living under the house. That was miserable. That's called abasing. But I got through 4 years of that, which was really, really hard. And then God took me to a better place. You have to get through the hard parts, and you have to keep praising him, and he has to still be your God. I still don't have my own house, but I know God's got one for me. And if I don't get one down here, I'll get one in heaven, so it's okay either way. When you finally come out of the wilderness, you will carry a priceless anointing that cannot be bought on earth. An anointing that can take you before kings and queens. An anointing for God's power to flow through you. An anointing that makes people want to follow you because they see that you have been with the Lord. Now, I want to talk about what happened when Jesus came out of the wilderness. In Matthew 4, verse 17, Jesus began to preach repentance. Right after he comes out of the wilderness, he starts preaching. And he began to call his disciples. God sent him help. As soon as he got through the wilderness, y'all, God sent help. Here, Jesus, here's some people to walk with you. And friends, too. In verse 23, he's already healing multitudes of people. And 3 verses later, in chapter 5, he preaches a sermon we are still talking about over 2,000 years later. That's what I call an anointing. That was the Sermon on the Mount. What you gain in the wilderness seasons of your life are priceless. But this walk is not free. It will cost you. It will cost you material things, because we must lighten our loads to make it up that steep, narrow path that leads us closer to our beloved Savior. It will cost you relationships, as many of those you know and love walk away thinking you're a fanatic or you're just plain crazy. It will cost you your dreams, as the Lord showers you in his love and you gladly lay them at his feet in exchange for his. It will cost you your pride, as the wilderness always requires we walk in humility. And at last, it will cost you yourself, as you realize that all you want is more of him, and you join Paul in saying, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." In a wilderness walk, God is trying you He is refining you. He is proving you. Like a seamstress when they thread a needle, pulling the thread taut to be sure it's not going to break under stress and cause all her work to come unraveled. He is proving you the same way, but he is also proving himself to you that you may know him better. He is proving that he and his word are both true. He is taking more of your fleshly nature, the part of you that wants the things of this world, out of the equation and filling that empty space with his glorious spirit. The end result is a lot less of you and a whole lot more of him, as well as an increased understanding of him that ultimately results in a powerful testimony that has the ability to reach others for his kingdom. He is making you conform more and more to his image, and when he is done, you will look less and less like this world. And that's a good thing. I hope this show has been a blessing to you. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you so much for joining me today on Wings Radio. You can contact me by mail at Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407, or by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com. Be sure to visit the blog page, wingsofprophecy.com. Wings of Prophecy is not affiliated with any denomination, church, or nonprofit organization. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.